When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's episode
58.
58. Is 58 a significant number to you in any way, Phil?
58 is 50 great.
50.
As the Black Eyed Peas say, I'm so episode 58, you so episode 50 late.
I think that's strong words for our competitor podcasts.
Yes. They're all episode 50 late.
They are episode 50 late. Who would you say our biggest competitor is?
I'm not sure. I think we're the only actors in our space, to use a business term. I don't know how many other podcasts out there serving the same needs that we are.
I think that's true. I think we're unique, and the nearest thing to a rival is probably just the news.
Yeah. It'd be if you turned on the news and South Park at the same time, or just fart noises and
if you were watching the
Victoria
news,
Derbyshire program,
if you were watching the news in the toilet,
yes, exactly. Yeah, we're a morning paper with a shit. Speaking of which, I will be on Have I Got News For You this Friday, Podbuds.
Ooh,
so
shit.
Do tune in on BBC One.
Are you gonna have to zoom in like it's your own relatives?
Yeah.
You're just checking in to see how Paul Merton is doing.
It really is gonna feel that way. It's going to be strange having a Zoom call televised to the nation.
Yeah. Yeah, and listeners, if you haven't seen the new Have I Got News For You format, there's no audience there, so there's no laughs. And it really does turn it into something of a Hunger Games of jokes.
I have a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
And Ian Hislop has a unique whistle tune that he whistles to inform the others that he's got a joke coming. He goes, and then everyone goes, "Oh, shush, Ian's going to say something about the PLP or whatever, you know."
And they salute while they do it.
Yeah,
yeah. They do the little three-fingered salute on their head, like you see sometimes in naval dramas or sort of cartoons. Never understood what that is.
In naval dramas, they put their heels together, like Dorothy and Wizard of Oz, and then they put their fingers to their forehead. That's just a normal salute, isn't it?
No. The heels thing is like Prussian or something originally. But okay, so put your pinky over your thumb, or put your thumb over your pinky, and just those three fingers sticking up.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing that now.
Yeah, then you turn the palm to face away from you and put the tips of those three fingers to your temple.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe I'm doing this on my own in my bedroom, but yeah.
Yeah, that.
Okay.
I've
is
seen
a
that
secret thing.
Somewhere.
Is it an Illuminati thing?
Maybe it is an Illuminati thing. I haven't heard from the Illuminati for absolutely ages. Have you, Phil?
Yes. You know what? The Illuminati's silence during the COVID-19 pandemic is deafening.
Too busy installing all those 5G.
I was just watching Eamon Holmes on ITV Breakfast News or whatever show he presents. Playing devil's advocate for 5G conspiracy theories.
Amazing that people go like, but what about idiots? Are idiots represented on television? Who's going to stand up for the dumb?
You're saying, but people, you know, people have questions and people want to get answers. Like, questions about what? if the question is, is 5G... the cause of coronavirus, and the answers are quick and swift no. Just because someone has questions doesn't mean they're entitled to search endlessly for it or ask questions about it.
Especially not if the questions they have are just, yeah, but what if it was, though? That's the only question they have. Their only question they have is, yeah, but what if I was right? It's the same thing as conspiracy theorists everywhere. Every answer you give them, they come up with a new question that tries to drive around the evidence.
Yeah, yeah. There's absolutely no point arguing with them. And then after that, I watched Eamon Holmes' sort of redaction statement, where he said, in response to my comments yesterday, of course I'm not saying that 5G causes coronavirus, which is like catnip to conspiracy theorists, because they can go, wow, one day later, Eamon Holmes has to backtrack. I wonder who got to him. Yeah. I wonder how quickly the Chinese 5G lobby got to our Eamon.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because you sort of think, like, you think they'd be able to imagine a world in which, assuming that they are wrong and that 5G doesn't do anything bad in terms of coronavirus, that a redaction would also have to follow. Like, they don't think like that. Like, if Eamon Holmes had accidentally said, shoes are full of AIDS, then he would have had to redact it probably within a shorter time space. You wouldn't just start imagining a big shoe AIDS lobby.
Yeah.
But these people have been hit on the head by something, I don't know.
Well, to be frank, if you're going to Eamon Holmes for your news, I think you're probably a lost cause.
I imagine people who come to BudPod for their news, imagine that, kind of, where do you get your news from? And it's like BBC, Sky, Guardian, Telegraph, Times, other, please explain. And they just write BudPod, probably in poo.
I should take this opportunity to divulge that I will be on a program with Eamon Holmes in a couple of weeks. I've seen it advertised.
Really?
I just want to know that it was recorded before he became a conspiracy theory apologist. It's this program called I've Got This, in which five celebrities and me so sit around having dinner and playing parlor games, and then whoever loses has to pay the bill.
Okay.
I'm in it with Eamon Holmes.
Who else
that was recorded a while back.
Who else is in it?
In my episode is me, Eamon Holmes, Alice Levine from rival podcast, My Dad Ate My Porno. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how it goes. And Stacey Solomon, who is a nice lady.
Yeah.
And a YouTuber called... this is the oldest I've felt in a while.
Little Zappy Guy.
Little Zappo 3000, I think his name is. he went out with Girl Ella. Girl Ella?
You're not helping me here, Phil. Wait.
For God's sake.
Bling.
Sorry, my reminder's just come up saying BudPod now. I know.
Ella, is that the one who made protein balls?
There's a Zoella, who's the... the most famous gal one.
Zippo 69. Cool 69 guy, 420, hashtag. Yeah.
He'd be one of these people you've never heard of, but who has 50 million followers and £1 billion.
Yeah, who's sort of like 10-year-olds can quote his semi-funny monologues word for word. All right, let's do some correspondence. We still got mountains of letters from fans to work through here at BudPod Towers.
Yes, correspondence from the before times. I think
before the apocalypse.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's full of hope. You can smell it.
And this is a good opportunity to catch up, you know, because the one upside to this quarantine is that we're all getting to catch up with the things we've been putting off for a long time. And here at BudPod Towers, we've been putting off a lot of correspondence for a while. So what better thing to do right now than finally catch up on it? So a correspondence special.
Bam.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Correspondence.
Tom gets in touch.
Tom, where's your mom?
Hey, Pooh Bud. Hey, Pooh Buds. Pooh Diddy and Millie Novelli.
I mean, I got poo, and you got like a cute pun on a pop music.
Yeah, Millie. Yeah. I've got a couple of stories and a tat attack. I've been meaning to email for months, but I usually listen while driving, so I always forget by the time I get to my destination, hence the length of this email. I'll start with the one that isn't me, as the other two are linked. Interesting. This one happened at my friend's mum's workplace. Ah. I always like the idea that... I always like the idea so, like, clearly something has happened involving shit that is powerful enough to get from a workplace to a mum to your friend to you.
Yes, there's a lot of barriers of politeness have been broken to get this story through to Tom.
Yeah, yeah. There's been a lot of sort of, what a scoop, what a poop moments. this one happened at my friend's mum's workplace. They work in an office of about 20. And one day a colleague came in wearing white jeans and oddly smug about having brought in a punnet of cherries with them.
Oh gosh, so this is like a Benny Hill sketch. So they're asking for trouble.
Oddly smug about a punnet of cherries. Over the day, they happily tucked away about 2/3 of this punnet inconspicuously.
Interesting. It sounds like this is a just for gags prank show that you watch on the airplane, you know? Like someone walks in with a pair of white jeans and a punnet of bright red cherries going, I hope nothing untoward happens here with my brand spanking new white jeans that I'm so proud of.
Now remember, the ambassador wants this wedding cake to be perfectly balanced. So make sure nothing unbalances it, for God's sake. Tonight's the very important evening that's in a vague and undefined way. over the day, they happily tucked away about 2/3 of this punnet inconspicuously. This was until they noticeably sat up straight and stopped working. And this was followed by tears. Tears, Phil.
Like a meerkat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Suddenly up straight. this was followed by tears once someone asked what was wrong, only for her to let someone quietly know that she had fully shat her pants. Due to the excessive cherry consumption.
What? I did not know this was a danger with cherries.
I guess it's a bit like prunes, isn't it? Like any just sort of amount of fruit.
Well, she's just had too much fiber. She's made her digestion too good.
Just like too much fiber and sugar and acid.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank God I hate fruit.
Yeah, I remember.
Thank God I shit out painful dry logs, because I'm never in danger of shitting myself at work.
Yeah, you shit like a log you'd find in the woods in summer, just totally dry, dusty.
Yeah, if a posh dad came across my poo in the woods, he'd go, "Yes, this one's good," and he'd put it in his arms and bring home for the fire.
Yeah, so they burn real nice. So she quietly let someone know she had fully shat her pants due to the excessive cherry consumption. Due to the white pants, they did not walk to the toilets, so they had to be wheeled to the toilets in their office chair. In tears. Oh, no. Like Hannibal Lecter in that weird gurney.
Yeah, with a little mask around her anus to stop more coming out.
I'm sorry, I ate some liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. And then the bit where he goes is just her bum doing it.
She's suspended upside down, so her bum hole is where Hannibal's mouth would have been, and been carted along upright like that.
Hello, Clarice. Ooh.
Like Ace Ventura, her bumhole's talking to everyone like Ace Ventura. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. She's investigating the entire crime through her own bum. Yeah. I like the idea of a backwards Hannibal Lecter where he murders people and then puts them up his bum.
Hannibal Rector.
It's Hannibal Rectum, the backwards cannibal.
Hannibum Rectum. Oh no, it's Hannibum Rectum.
It's surreal and it's childish. Okay. Yeah, so she had to be wheeled in her cherry poop jeans to the bogs.
Yeah.
Although I'm interested, like, once you've wheeled her to the bogs, I mean, you can't, like, hose her white jeans down. So what happens? She just has to be wheeled out nude.
You could fashion trousers out of lube roll.
Yes.
Like a mummy.
Like a Halloween mummy.
Mummify her. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. These are my new white
trousers.
She
could TP her own anus. Yes. I don't know. Yeah. So where's this going?
That's it. That's it.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's all we know. She was wheeled away, never to be seen again.
Yeah, they just took her into the bathroom and they killed her.
They just flushed her down the toilet. She started a new life in the sewers where she belonged.
They said to her, "This is so embarrassing. We'll have to kill you and flush you down the loo."
And she said, "Thank you."
She said
she was grateful for it.
She said, "Why haven't you done it already? Stop talking."
But she survived, and now she lives in the sewers training the Ninja Turtles.
Yes. Mostly in bowel control. The next happened to me when visiting a friend in Munich, says Tom.
Ooh, Punic. Punic, Germany.
That's right. We stayed with his auntie, who has a flat there. And this is when I discovered Das Tatattacken. I have in the past, in England, above a toilet, seen a sign saying, "If you sprinkle when you tinkle, please be neat and wipe the seat."
Yes, we've all seen it. It's a classic.
Yep. Which is tat attack enough, but the more concise German version may top it, which is nicht spritzen, sitzen.
That sounds like sit in your own piss. If you're spraying piss everywhere, you sit in it and learn your lesson. Very German.
You will sit in it and you will understand why it is bad.
So what does it mean?
It apparently translates to don't splash, sit. Nicht spritzen, sitzen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it works better in German.
Like a spritz. We've heard of a spritz.
Yeah, but only in an Aperol context myself.
Yes, Aperol piss, yes.
Yeah, imagine a German being offered an Aperol spritz. They must go, "Excuse me, that is disgusting."
Or they'd just immediately sit on it.
Oh, they sit on it. You want me to sit on my drink? Oh, knowing those perverts, they probably guzzle it up.
Ah, Aperol piss, yeah, danke. Did not realize it was this kind of party. So he says, "It's on this trip when I found myself with uncontrollable stomach rumbles due to a bad burger and 2 days of Oktoberfest."
Bad burger. Bad.
Bad burger. 2 days of Oktoberfest, though. God, imagine, this is so from the before time, Phil. Oktoberfest. Just imagine it.
Yeah. Any fest.
He says, any fest, yeah. A January fest, which is the worst one, the least fun.
January fest. What is January fest? New Year's Day? My birthday, that's my January fest.
Yeah, likewise. Yes, well, likewise. So he says, I thought I had good control of my bowels and I decided to tough it out. While having a couple of drinks in the park, and it's decidedly classier while on holiday, and especially in Munich, I suppose, I realized I had a decision to make. Shit myself or shit somewhere in the park. Obviously, a public toilet is the best choice here, he says.
Yeah,
which
ideally.
Is true. Ideally. Sadly, they were not to be found. I had to take the decision to shame myself in a bush rather than my pants.
Oh, yeah. Au naturel. I wonder what the German rhyme for that is. Nick Scheiser. Bush Surpriser.
Yeah. Yes, I think that must be it. So, he's shitting in a bush. He says, I thought this was the extent of my shame until I was interrupted by a golden retriever.
Oh, no, the most embarrassing shit. The most embarrassing color of retriever to be caught shitting by. Gleaming
yes, it
in
is,
gold.
Actually.
Yeah.
It represents the opposite of what you're doing. It would only be appropriate to be caught by a large, sinister black dog.
Yes, or a chocolate lab, at least.
So, until he was interrupted by a golden retriever and inevitably the owner of that dog. This person said something in German that I could only assume was sorry, only for me to follow up with, okay, thank you.
What's okay, thank you in German? You know this more too. Okay, danke schön.
Okay, danke.
Danke. When is it danke and when is it danke schön?
Danke schön is like thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, danke. Yeah.
Or like vielen Dank. Vielen Danke, like many thanks. I'm feeling danke right now. That's what a German stoner would say. So he says, anyway, I love the pod, and as they say in Bavaria, Wichse es Vita. Vita? I think it means keep on jacking it, Tom.
Oh, okay, nice one. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Sorry about your park shame, although now is a better time than ever to do some dirty protests in the park. Although there are police around now, so it actually might be harder in that sense.
You would have to do your shit in the park while doing push-ups.
That's right. Yeah, you're going to have to try and cover it up as squats.
So people know it's people know it's exercise.
Yeah. Are you going out
to
exercise?
That guy shitting in the park. Yeah.
Are you, me? Yeah.
No, I keep saying I'm going to and then I fail. Every day I say like tomorrow in the endless lockdown I'll do something difficult voluntarily and then you know what? I don't.
I ran 5 kilometers the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where the hell did you do that?
I ran up the canal over to Westbourne Park.
How long did that take you?
Oh, I don't know. 45 minutes to an hour maybe.
A little jog then?
Yeah,
a little jog. Joggeroo?
I do feel better afterwards, but you never want to do it again.
I've never run in like in public, like in the just in the street.
You've never done that? Yeah, actually, come to think of it, I can't imagine you doing that. It would look weird.
I don't even know. I feel like people would, no matter how I was dressed, people would assume I was on my way somewhere.
Yeah, Pierre's late for something.
Exactly, yeah. And I just sort of like...
Even if you were wearing like spandex. Well, Pierre's sure late for that spandex modeling gig.
God, Pierre's really late for that that audition for playing a cyclist.
Well, Pierre's sure late for that audition for Dirty Dancing. What's the one where... No, what's the one where she does the dance audition in the studio in Lycra? What is that?
And
what's the school she does it to?
Is it the stripper film?
Is it Footloose? No, it's not Footloose. It's not the stripper film. It's not Dirty Dancing.
What is that one? Is it a musical?
Well, we're annoying everyone now. And I don't think it is a musical, no.
But yes, I went
running around, but I always forget how nice it feels afterwards, so I never want to do it again. You know, apparently, like, our bodies are sort of, our brains are designed to sort of forget how good sex feels, cause, so that you don't get bored of it, so you keep coming back.
I've heard that, yeah.
That seems to apply to my exercise as well, but it has the opposite effect, where I forget how good I feel afterwards, and all I remember is how horrible it is to go outside running. So I just don't do it again.
Like if your only memory of sex was like how hard you worked.
Yes.
Like your only memory of sleeping with someone was like, God, that took forever. What a chunk of my day.
Are you doing home workouts?
I want to run in public, but I just don't know, like, all right, so I go to a park, let's say, and I'm stood on like a path in the park, or, and you sort of go like, well, when do I start running? What's my pace? How do I know what my pace is?
Yes, that is difficult. That is difficult.
Do I just sort of start running out of nowhere and people go, oh my God, he started running?
I know, there's a real sense that everyone's watching you and waiting for you to commit to it. Thinking, exactly. When is he gonna...
Because you never
really now?
You okay. Never see someone you never see someone start running, they're always running.
That's true.
You never see them sort of go, oh, I've just arrived, it's time to start my run. They're always like, oh, this runner ran past me. Maybe they're just doing it forever.
Like how you never see a baby pigeon, you only ever see pigeons.
Exactly.
You only ever see someone already running. But I guess if they're not running, they're just walking. You don't notice that either.
Yeah, and if they're dressed like a runner, you think, that guy's having a rest after his run.
Yes. Interesting. On my way to the park for my run last week, I chanced upon a robbery in progress.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was walking along, and there was wondering about when I should start running. And yep. There was just a guy at the odd bins with a huge... crowbar, just going, just working his way through the door, just, and everyone's just kind of watching him, because most people are thinking, I guess he worked there and they've forgotten the key. It, broad daylight, this guy is so bold.
Wow.
And so I also ran past, like going, huh, I guess they forgot, they've lost the key to that odd bins. And as I moved past him, I saw two policemen running towards him, and I looked back, and he was running away holding this crowbar like a cartoon villain, just running off. And I just thought, I trust people too much. Why do I have so much trust in people?
I guess, but it's that thing, isn't it, of like everyone else is assuming it's fine, so you're a monkey, so you have to take your cue from the monkeys, it's the other pack.
Bystander effect, isn't it?
Yeah, and also it's also the fact that like
it's broad daylight.
Yeah, it's broad daylight. Go, well,
no one would be thick enough to be... Maybe he was counting on that.
Oh, definitely. It's like the same thing where like people just confidently walk up to a lot of bikes and what do you call it with the big snippers? Bolt cutters.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Bolt cutter the locks off and just take a lot of bikes. And you go, I don't think those are their bikes. And by that point, they're gone.
Yeah, it was really extraordinary.
It's also different, isn't it? If someone's breaking into an off license, you sort of go, well, even if it is a robbery, you know, whatever. Whereas if they were breaking into like an old lady's head or something.
Yeah, but the response was
an old folks' home full of puppies and babies. You'd be like, hey, whoa, hold on.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I guess also like a wine shop is such a bourgeois target that people thought surely. Not. And also, a chain of wine shops that was going into administration anyway. It's not going to have loads of cash behind the counter, is it? So unless he knew of... Maybe there was like a very rare bottle that he knew about in there. That
you
like
saw
a
the
lock,
only...
stock and two barrels kind of a situation. And if only he found this Magnum, he'd be set.
You saw the only sommelier burglar.
I mean, he looked quite cool. He looked like he has a lot of tattoos down his leg, and he was that kind of hipster that always looks like they're ready to fix a bike. You know, they've got those short cargo shorts there, and a sort of racing green t-shirt that's sort of tatty but not gross.
Facial hair?
So yeah, I think so. He reminded me of a character in Tiger King. I don't know if you've watched Tiger King on Netflix.
So he had a bit of a crystal meth vibe.
Well, he was actually the nice Renke character, the guy who managed the zoo but broke his legs.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like that guy. So he looked like a sensible dude. But no, he was a wine thief.
He was a smelly-ugler.
Smelly-ugler, yeah. Yeah.
A smelly-ugler or then, a burglary? But
then when I... on my way back, there were so many policemen. They'd cordon off the odd bins, which is fair enough. And there were a couple of policemen outside that door. But then around the corner, there were, I'm not kidding, like 8 police vans? Vans. All parked up. Policemen everywhere. And I thought that, I mean, I know it's a crime, but this seems a bit much.
Maybe he was like a proper maniac. I mean, a crowbar's a hell of a thing to have in your hand while you're running around psychotically trying to burgle an odd bins.
Maybe.
It's very strange.
It seemed sort of premeditated. He seemed like he knew what he was doing.
Because you can buy booze still. It's not like you can't buy booze.
It's true. Maybe the online queues were too long for him.
Maybe he's just a crazed like drug addict where they just go like, I don't know, I thought I could get an armful of wine and sell it for 3p. I don't, fuck. Like, they're just beyond thinking it through.
But he just seems so together. He seemed all right. That's always the most surprising when someone just seems like all right, really. But anyway, what do I know? Who knows what's going on in his life?
Yeah. Let's look. Judge not, lest ye be judged.
I mean, I very much related to him. I'd love to break into an odd bins. Are you kidding?
Just for something to do, I think.
Something to do and a little reward at the end.
Delicious. A delicious bottle of wine after a long day's burgling. So, Louis has got in touch.
Louis.
Yes, and basically, have you ever seen that meme of the Japanese baseball game full of fake American names?
No.
Oh, you're in for a real treat here, Phil.
I'm going to look this up.
So, well, hang on, I'll read them to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what is the meme?
So basically, Louis says, "Hi there, bud chaps. I've been listening to all the episodes because I cannot get enough of that poopy drivel." Thank you, Louis. In episode 34, you talk about the most American names. Did you know there was a Japanese baseball game released for the Famicom where one of the programmers of that baseball game had to just make up all the American names?
Famicom?
Yeah, Famicom.
Is that like a convention for people who are really into family values?
Famicom, yes, I think it must be. I think it must just be. Oh no, it's com with an M. Famicom.
Okay.
Oh wow, yeah, it's one of those really old Nintendo consoles. Wow, look at that. It looks like a Transformers head.
Oh, I see. So it was a baseball video game.
Yeah. But so right. It was an American baseball video game, but entirely made and released in Japan, and they didn't have any. There was a rush or something. They just said to one of the programmers, you hurry up and name all the players on the teams. And so this some Japanese programmer was like, oh, fucking hell, and had to make up American names.
I love it. I love it already.
And they're really good. So let's go through these baseball players, Phil. And I'm going to pronounce them as best I can.
Sure.
Okay. First on the roster here, Sleeve McDykel.
Sleeve.
Yeah, it's spelt like Steve, but with an L. Sleeve McDykel. Okay, next on the roster, Onsen Sweeney.
Onsen Sweeney. That's funny because Onsen in Japanese is like a spa, a hot spring, a sauna as an Onsen. He's called Sauna Sweeney.
Sauna Sweeney. It's with an M too. That's fun. Sweeney.
M.
M. Sweeney, yeah. Onsen Sweeney. I'm going to go for a quick sweemy in the onsen. This one is so close, Phil. I think we can all appreciate how close this Japanese programmer got in 1986 or whenever it was. Daryl Archerdeld. So close. Archerdeld. He's nearly nailed that.
That sounds like a character in like a bootleg copy of The Great Gatsby.
Yes, I'm Daryl Archerdeld of the New England Archerdelds.
Yeah, and you're reading and go, wait, Archerdeld? Wait, what? And you look at the back and it's like...
It's like all those names in Game of Thrones where it's like, I'm like Wavered Dilliam and things like that. They're always sort of slightly different.
Yeah.
Like weird like spellings.
Borb. Borby. Yeah,
Bobbert. Okay. All right. Anatoly Smorin. Now that does sound that's like an actual nice. Russian. That's good. Anatoly Smorin.
Anatoly Smorin. That sounds like one of the great Russian novelists.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Or like no one has ever successfully safely completed this dance move except for Anatoly Smorin. So the next one, Ray McSriff.
Ray McSriff.
Yeah, Ray McSriff. But Ray, like, Ray's with an E, and it's MCS Riff. McSriff. Ray McSriff.
Is that a Scottish clan that was really good at improvising things on the spot? Yeah.
They were the only improv Highlanders. They invented Highland improv is done at the Highland Games, Phil, after the caver tossing.
What makes the McGriffs so dangerous is you never know what they're going to do.
Give me a place, the Highlands, right? Give me a profession, crofter, right? I'm a crofter in the Highlands. And everyone just, yay, everyone cheers. Okay.
What's a next crofter? On the list.
A crofter is like someone who, I think it's someone who makes like the stuff you need to put in thatched roofs, like a thatcher. Gosh. Like a thatcher. A crofter is like a small cottage farm.
God, there was such an industry around just roofs, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, if your roof is made of grass.
God, there's a lot of work.
Oh, there you go. It's like a type of farmer. Yeah, a crofter is a person who farms a croft. There you go.
Right. I mean, that's not really answering the question.
What's such a
crofter? A man who deals with crofts.
that's such a fuck you definition. What's a rum diddler? It's someone who rum diddles. Right. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, it's a form of land tenure and small scale food production, particular to the Scottish Highlands and the Islands, and formerly on the Isle of Man. There you go. That's why I know that word.
Okay.
Next on the baseball roster, Glenallan Mixon,
yes.
Yes, Glenallan Mixon.
It's a good drink.
Yes, yes, yes. 20 years old Glenallan.
Yeah.
Mario McElwain, that's a good mixture of ethnicities there.
Irish-Italian. Yeah, very the most New York name imaginable.
Yes, yes,
the
yes,
Mario
yes.
McElwains.
Mario McElwain. Raul Chamgillan. So that's Chamberlain with a G. Raul Chamgillan. Kevin Nogalny.
Nogalny.
Yeah.
Sounds like an injury.
It does, yeah. And Kevin will not be playing baseball today because he has Nogalny. Next,
Yeah, that was like... It's what they called arthritis before they understood arthritis.
Yeah. We finally discovered the underlying causes behind Nogalny. Next on the list, Tony Smerick.
Tony Smerick. I mean, that's the most believable yet, Tony Smerick. He sounds like an actor who played a detective in the 70s.
Yes, or one of the earliest stand-ups.
Ah, yes.
It's that you'd hear an old interview with Woody Allen when he was still doing interviews where people liked him, and he'd be like, I remember I was so inspired by Tony Smerick.
The first comedian to ask everyone how they're doing. Yeah.
The first comedian to ask if anyone's drinking tonight.
Of course, it'll take for granted now. Now it's considered hack, but of course, someone had to start it. And that was a genius of Tony Smerick.
It's like finding out someone invented saying hello. It's Tony Smerick. It's just... And now we hit a real highlight, Phil, of the baseball team. Bobson Dugnut. Classic. That's incredible. Bobson Dugnut.
I mean, any players of the Pro Evolution football game in the noughties will also have really enjoyed this.
Yes. Of course.
Did you ever play Pro Evo?
I had friends who had Pro Evo, and I was amused to see that, you know, you could play as Bavid Deckham.
Bavid Deckham. Ryan Gills was a personal favorite. The only aquatic footballer. Yeah, that was really fun.
Manchester
Red.
Manchester Red.
You had to play as Manchester Red.
Manchester Red. Of course, they can't use the names of the teams. That's astonishing.
Yeah, all the logos or anything.
Oh, wow. The Cannon Boys. God's sake, that's mad. Next up, after Bobson Dugnut, we've got Willie Dustis.
Well, I like Willie Dustis.
I like Willie Dustis.
Willie does this. Dustis. He plays baseball.
Dustis is spelt like justice.
Yeah, great. In the name of Dustis.
Jeromey Gride.
Jeromey Gribes.
Jeromey Gride.
Gride, okay.
Scott Dork, but Dork is spelt like... Dork like is spelt like a French name. D-O-U-R-Q-U-E. Dork.
Wow, like talk.
Yes, yes, yes. Scott Dork. Sean Furcott. Sean Furcott. Dean Wesry. Mike Truck. That's a good one.
Mike Truck.
That's like a Japanese spy pretending to be American. Why, I'm American. My name is Mike Truck. Oh, by God, that's a patriotic name. Get in here.
It sounds like a pejorative term for someone living in the Midwest. All these like, Mike Trucks over here.
Yeah, well, like they would talk about it in advertising firms. Sure, New York, we want to buy Coca-Cola, but what does Mike Truck think?
Yeah. There's Joe Bloggs and Mike Truck.
I heard Joe Soap the other day, which is pretty good.
Joe Soak.
Soap with a P.
Right, and what does
Joe
that refer
Soap
to?
No, is like Joe Bloggs, like some random. No,
okay.
Some random like
Joe Soap.
Like some piece of shit you sit next to on the bus, whatever.
Wow, Joe Soap's quite a nice name, though.
That's true. Yeah. Now this one's quite hard to pronounce. So it's a misspelt version of a different name that would be Dwight Portugal, but it's Dwigget Rortugal. Dwigget Rortugal. Tim
How's
Sandal.
How's Dwigget spelt there?
D-W-I-G-T, like Dwight with an H taken out. Dwigget.
Okay.
And then Rortugal is Portugal with an R. Rortugal.
Great.
Dwigget Rortugal. Tim Sandal, spelt Sandale. Carl Dandleton, that's a good one.
Mm.
Mike Hernandez and Todd Bonzales.
Bonzales. Oh, this is great.
So many of them is just clear mishearings, I think. Just like, Bonzales, I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
You have to admire the confidence to just go with it.
Oh, yeah. To just go like, yeah, I can make up actual full names.
Some of them are pretty good. I mean, Americans do have crackers names.
They do, yeah. They do have some weird names. I mean, and they're very funny about how it's pronounced. Like, that guy whose name is clearly supposed to be whatever it is. It's basically Mike Boner, but he claims it's pronounced Boehner, even though it's spelt with an O. And an E.
Well, he would say that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what a Boehner would say. Yes. Can you imagine if can you imagine the horror of a list of names that an American programmer had to make up for a Japanese baseball team?
Yeah, let's not go there. Why do Japanese people always come up on this podcast? I think we're low-key obsessed.
I think we have to be obsessed with Japan because they just punch above their weight culturally.
That's true.
In a similar way to that, what the UK does, where it's like, oh, it's not the biggest country in the world, it's not the richest, but by God, everyone has seen a lot of the media and heard a lot about it. And
of course. Yeah, it's true. Soft power.
And I think, I was very obsessed with ninjas as a boy.
Really? You don't seem the type. I never cared about ninjas at all. Is that weird? I couldn't care less.
You didn't care about ninjas? The sneakiest men around?
I just think they're so silly. I just thought ninjas, cowboys, pirates, never got into any of those. They just seem a bit broad. Yeah.
What were you? What kind of generic job that isn't a job were you into?
Oh, I guess right. That's a good question. Oh, it sounds dorky, but like inventors.
Inventors,
you know, like a Dexter's Lab kind of situation. I was obsessed with the idea of having an underground lab
and right.
Like tubes and secret doors that would lead to my underground lab. And then I had like an underground network of tunnels that would take me anywhere throughout the rural city that I lived in.
Right. Okay. And so it was the power of knowledge and sort of elixirs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've spoken in the past about our desire to concoct magical potions out of our mum's shampoo. It was very much an extension of that.
Yes, okay, so you thought I could make the shampoo into something interesting if only I had the lab.
If only I were underground, where science happens.
Science is up to 30% more science underground. It's been proven. Henry has sent us some tat. Yes,
lovely. Henry the hooving up tat.
That's right. Hi Phil and Pierre, please see below for some tat I found on a recent trip to Cancun, Mexico.
Oh, that's where American reprobates go for their spring break, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes. These presumably are all for those dirty-minded spring breakers, but I think they were drink holders, but they were actually just crap polystyrene round things, and one of them is particularly scatological. Hope you enjoy, Koji Henry. So let's have a look at this tat. Okay, so this one, Phil, it's in what you might call one of Microsoft Word's more amusing fonts. It's in a fun font, and it says, "I'm here about the blowjob."
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And underneath it just says Mexico. Polystyrene, this is a polystyrene ring for you. Or like a
cup
mug
holder.
Warmer. Yeah.
God. Yeah. So it says, "I'm here about the blowjob." And then underneath it just says Mexico.
Is it addressed to Mexico? Is that what the person said at customs?
"I'm here about the blowjob, Mexico."
Just handing your passport over at immigration. "I'm here about the blowjob, Mexico."
I like the idea that someone went, "Where did you get that here? I'm here about the blowjob cup for..." Oh, I see. So this next one is pretty good, Phil. It's in a quite a somber font on a white on black.
Mm.
It says, "I heart to fart."
I think that's some of our merchandise, isn't it?
It is now.
That's on the Bud Pod store.
It says, "I heart to fart," and fart is capitalized. And then at the bottom, again, it says, "Cancun, Mexico." "I heart
People must
fart.
Know where these are coming from. We must represent our beloved home in the only
People
way we
must
know how.
The source of this genius.
Well, I guess in a country with such a bean-based cuisine, it's not entirely surprising, is it? As a national motto.
Yes, they'd have to love farting, if only through a certain type of Stockholm syndrome, eventually. in that they've been held captive by farting so long that they've just come to empathize with farting's objectives.
We had to fart because we have no choice. We must heart to fart. My father hearted to fart, and his father before him hearted to fart. And so now I heart to fart.
The trees heart to grow, the birds heart to sing. We must heart to fart. It is in our nature.
So this next one, Phil, is quite saucy.
Ooh.
It says, in really big letters, it says, I'm shy. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So it says, I'm shy. Yeah, yeah. And then underneath, in quite small letters in brackets, it says, but I've got a big dick.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm shy. I've got a big dick.
Is the big dick then being submitted as the reason for his shyness? Is he going, I'm shy, but I have got a big dick? Is it that tone?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, in the sense where it almost should be and.
Right.
Oh, no, yeah, it's the explanation where it's like, don't look at it. That would be quite a funny approach to take.
I'm shy, but I've got a big dick. All right, so it's trying to make up for it.
Yeah, well, it's saying like, I'm shy, but here's this thing that should make you be the one to start with me.
Right, okay, yes.
And then below the brackets qualifying sentence about the big dick, there is a Mexican hat, and it says Cancun, Mexico.
Another of their very poignant national mottos.
Yes, I think that might be the motto of the state of Cancun or whatever it's called.
The famously shy cultures of Latin America.
Yes, the shyest cultures around, I think, with the shyest dancers. So here's another fun one, Phil. It says, tell your boobs, and boobs is enormous in big, big letters. And the O's look like boobs. I don't need to tell you that.
Sure, one would have to assume.
They haven't been drawn to look like boobs. Someone's just put sort of little dots in the O's, so it's a bit lazy.
Okay.
Tell your boobs in big letters to stop staring at my eyes.
The old switcheroo.
The old switcheroo. Victim blaming, if anything.
Gosh.
Tell your boobs to stop staring at my eyes, and then underneath, of course, Cancun, Mexico.
I mean, is Cancun sort of America's Ibiza? Is it a sort of once beautiful place ruined by tourists from a richer country?
It could be, yeah.
That way. Yeah.
It seems like most of these places are either once beautiful, idyllic holiday destinations turned into horrible fuck pits, or...
Fuck pits, yeah.
Or they're like devastatingly poor rural areas that farmed like one thing for hundreds of years, and now they have to be like, I guess now we farm one thing and we make these I've got a big dick cup holders.
Yeah. Gosh. Sad.
So this final one, Phil, just says, lost the hair in big letters. Okay. Lost the hair.
Oh, and then underneath again. This sounds like dad tat.
Yes. This is like a creepy dad tat. Creepy dad sex tourist tat. It says, lost the hair, and then in brackets underneath in small letters, what do you think it says?
Lost the hair, gained a big old pair of balls.
You're so close.
Lost the hair, gained an inch.
Oh, but see, that's better. You've already improved the tat, I'd say. It says, lost the hair, kept the big dick. It's a big dick again.
I was going to go big dick, but I thought, surely not again. It's too obvious.
Yeah, you go, the craftsmen of Cancun would never repeat themselves. So it says, lost the hair, kept the big dick, !! Bold. And underneath, again, is a picture of a Mexican hat. And Cancun, Mexico.
Mexico, yeah. Of course, it's the only hat in the world big enough to cover such a big dick.
Yes. When you hold a sombrero, a mariachi sombrero in front of your genitals, it's expected that your enormous dick and balls fill the entire hat.
Okay, Pierre, so if you have to pick one of these to take home with you, you have to have one of these pieces of Cancun tent. Which are you taking?
Ooh.
And you're not allowed to apologize for it. Or say that this is for a joke. You have to use it.
Oh, man.
In earnest.
That is hard. Let me think.
Well, your hair, you've got a thick head of hair, so I'm afraid that one is that one's beyond your
Yeah, and I've got a beard as well, so I wouldn't even be able to pretend it was that.
Yeah.
I've just gone away from the email, so I'm trying to refresh my memory, but Gmail's being a little piece
there
of
was,
shit.
There was boobs staring me in the eye. I mean,
yep.
In this climate, you'd be a fool.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's too dangerous. And the boobs in the eyes, I'm not doing it. That's out.
What was the other one? You're shy, but you got a big dick, mate.
Yeah.
I mean, that is incredibly the least offensive.
Yes, and also the bit about the dick is like in quite small writing, so people would need to be quite close.
There is a humility to it, yeah.
What was the first one? Oh, yes, I'm here about the blowjob, Mexico.
Yeah, actually, maybe it's an easier choice than I'd first thought.
Yeah, I'm shy, but I've got a big dick has to be the one. It has to be the one. If someone gets close enough to read the rude bit, maybe it'll work.
Yes, maybe it will. Yeah, but I think that's a very much... Or a reverse causation argument. If they're close enough to have read it, you've probably won them over already.
Yes. Also, the rude bit's small enough that I could put my finger across it kind of thing while I'm sipping my coconut-flavored booze, question mark? I'm not sure. Hot beer? I got no idea. Yes, I have to go with that one. I assume your choice would be the same.
It would be the same, I'm afraid. Yeah, it's the only smart choice.
Yeah, I think that's it, really. And so what? Well, that's kind of the episode. What are your plans for the rest of this beautiful sunny day? We can't go outside to enjoy.
Well, today I'm going to try and finally finish Death Stranding, the video game, the crazy video game. I'm so close. Every time I get through another 20-minute cutscene where I go, here we are, here we go, here's the finale, I can finally return to my life. They go, you have one more job. And I go, oh, for God's... Oh! Why is this game such value for money?
That's so funny. They just... You can never quit your job as a digital postman.
I really can't. But, you know, it's nice to get out. That's the main thing. What about you?
I have got to be a guest on a podcast that is run by someone who listens to the podcast. So that's a snake eating its own tail. And I need to post some drawings to people I've done drawings for.
It's really impressive that you've started essentially a small business from your home.
Yes, I sort of almost hope that people don't go too mad on the commissions thing, because it would be very funny if it was like, well, I would have written some comedy in isolation, but I was doing all these kind of like medium quality drawings. Like I've stopped being arguably very good at comedy to be almost good at art. That's my new dream, is to be a sort of a mediocrity in a different form.
Well, I mean, now's the time for mediocrity.
Like Michael Jordan with baseball.
Real well. Right, yes. Michael Jordan. Didn't he play golf? Or was it baseball? No, it was baseball, wasn't it?
He did golf as well, I think.
Yeah, in Space Jam, he's playing golf.
Yes. God, what a film.
What a film. But he was so self-aware about his own crapness at golf, he agreed to make a film about how he really must return to basketball. I mean, that's self-awareness, isn't it?
He made a film about how he was willing to be taunted by cartoon characters into being less of a fucking joke. Right, yes. Right, I'm going to go send these goddamn These goddamn drawings are going to go queue at the post office like it's the damn war.
When you start getting commissions from the Vatican, that's when you know you've really made it as an artist, Pierre.
Yes, when a religious authority goes, your art's so good that I don't want to burn it for it being impure.
Yeah.
That is a compliment.
Yeah, it really is. To all the podbuds, have a nice week. Stay happy and safe.
Have a nice week. Stay indoors, for God's sake.
And we'll see you in due course.
See you for the next week of the apocalypse. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.